vanuit Brussels Expo op Business AM CyberSec Europe.
Welkom bij Business AM van op de CyberSec Europe beurs in Brussel. Ik ben Sophie Sonck en deze beurs staat in het teken van cybersecurity. De vele facetten ervan, de innovaties, de gevaren van nieuwe technologieën, de gevolgen voor bedrijven en uiteraard ook de ethische kwesties. En over dat laatste heb ik een gesprek met Pablo Bayarin Ucieto, Cybersecurity Advisor en professor AI-ethiek. Ik praat met hem in het Engels. Welkom, professor Ucieto.
Welcome, Sophie.
It is evident that in a world transforming hard into a digitalized society, cybersecurity should be on the level. But is it on the level?
It tries to be on the level, Sophie, but it's very hard. We are seeing here in this amazing conference so many companies that are very good companies that bring us very good solutions in order to protect our infrastructures. But the problem is we are having a cyber criminal that are more and more powerful. And we have digitalization transformation in all the companies that what they do is they bring, of course, incredible new performance and functionalities, but at the same time they open our companies to new threats. So cyber criminals and all that digitalization brings more and more difficulties to cybersecurity.
But what is the biggest threat or danger that the lack of decent cybersecurity could cause, say, to a company?
Well, the biggest threat could be being completely unable to provide services, being completely unable to work as they normally do. That's the biggest threat. Any kind of company is an IT company, so if they suffer a cyber attack, they could be completely out of the market in just say seconds.
Mm-hmm. It is just a question of money and data being stolen. You pay the ransom and the malware can be dismantled. Or is that too naive to believe? Is the destruction of such attacks much more impactful?
Yeah, sure. It's very naive. It's very naive to believe that cyber criminals are going to leave you once you pay. First of all, it's not clear that that's going to be the solution. And then nobody tells you, nobody can assure you that the cyber criminals are not going to try it into the future. And of course, they have collected a lot of valuable information. You don't know how this information is going to end up. Probably they will go in, even if you pay, they are going to sell it in the black market. So you can be assured that all the attacks are going to come from all the cyber criminals.
Mm-hmm. You provide cybersecurity and ethics strategy and governance services all over the world for companies. Do you have the same approach towards a bank than you would in advising a retail company or a university? Where is the difference?
Well, banks are especially the one industry which is specifically the most mature in terms of cybersecurity. It's an industry that has to spend a lot of money, and it has done it since the beginning of its digital transformation. So it has nothing to do a cybersecurity strategy in a bank than a cybersecurity strategies in other industries such as a university or in a small or medium company that is just starting. So the approach has to be completely different. If I do a service for a bank, for example, I assume they already have been working on cybersecurity for years and years, and their maturity is quite high. And in other companies, sometimes you have to start from scratch, from the beginning, mm-hmm. and see what the approach should be.
Mm-hmm. Computerization and digitalization in companies and institutions is moving faster than legislation and our moral philosophers can keep up with. What are important points for you to consider now at this moment and not tomorrow?
Companies should be companies that that develop artificial intelligence artificial intelligence application or applications that are based on emerging technology in general have to be aware that the algorithms have consequences on the people. They have consequences on society in general. So they must be trained to understand how to identify the risk they provide. Risk can come from lack of transparency. They can come by because they reproduce different type of buyers, but also by the fact that they control the communication channels with the users, and they can create, I don't know, for example, things we have said in big companies like information bubbles, fake news, and that can even threaten threaten democracies.
Are we too well behaved and also too blind to the true nature of our pervasive digitization? Is it because despite all the chatbot craziness and the power of algorithms, it is still humans programming these machines? Is that a problem? Or is it just another business model?
No, it's not a problem. It's just that we have to be sure where the focus should be. A lot of times we're saying that the algorithms are sexist or the algorithms are racist, but it's never the algorithms that are behaving in a certain way. It's always companies behind those algorithms, the staff of the companies that have decided to choose algorithms, that have decided to choose among specific models and to train the algorithms with specific data. That's where the focus should be, from the side of the people who design the algorithms. And of course, it has to be as well. It's something that has to be interiorized by the customers, that need to understand what the effects of the relationship with the companies through the technology can lead.
Do the advantages of this digitization and ever-increasing cooperation between humans and computers still outweigh these disadvantages?
Sure, it's two different debates. The outcomes are going to be positive in no matter what, but it doesn't matter if they are good or bad. They are just there. We just have to make sure that the bad outcomes are correctly identified and they are correctly reassessed in order to provide good controls that can outweigh benefits and bad consequences.
How do we get into this situation? Is this the fault of companies who are greedy for profits and hope that by making us dependent on machines, they can steer those profits for the next several decades? Is that the bottom line?
Well, I think that the real problem comes from an asymmetry of power between the companies and the users. The companies hold the algorithms, very powerful algorithms, and they also hold all the data from the customers they have collected over years and years of using the applications. So as there is an asymmetry of power, those companies control the channel, so they can potentially do things as the ones we said before. They can potentially create bias, they can reproduce bias, they can potentially create fake news, create bubbles. I don't mean that they are doing it, but they can do it. Mm-hmm. And of course they have done it in, for example, in democratic elections all around the world. So that's where the focus should be.
And is it greed?
Is it greed?
Yeah,
well, it's as any other business. Any business has to look for its interest. Mm-hmm. So it's not that it's greed. It's just that they are looking for their objectives. And objectives. And most of the problem is that if they don't follow ethical principles, they are going to take customers as a mean to achieve an end. Their ends are being more and more profitable. But the problem is that they don't take into account that there's a human dignity in order to achieve that that objective. And that's why many people talk about regulating the way those companies work with algorithms.
Mm-hmm. Are we able to protect our businesses, and what does it take? Are awareness and cybersecurity budgeted enough?
In certain industries, it's budgeted enough. In some others, it's it's very, very far away from the budget objectives, according to many cybersecurity responsibles. And in any case, budget is not the only solution. Budget is necessary, of course. We have to make sure that we have the bottom lines of solutions, that the minimum solutions, applications, and stuff are there. But on top of that, we need an awareness. We need that the security professionals are visible, that the board provides all this cybersecurity transformation. So it's budget, of course, which is not enough right now, but it's also other things which is not material that are needed.
What are three key takeaways that companies should learn to implement in order to protect themselves? Maybe it's enough to just take an insurance?
Well, insurance should be the last thing they need to put in place. Before that, there are many things that need to be considered. Infrastructure has to be protected. Infrastructure needs to be monitored in order to make sure that attacks are detected. And there has to be a response whenever an attack takes place. So yes, insurance is part of the solution, but it's just a small part. When everything is when all the previous solutions haven't been enough.
Mm-hmm. More and more narcotics are being made conditionally legal after having a devastating impact on humanity. Do you think that private data are the narcotics of the future? As in, I get high on the info I just obtained to defeat my opponent?
Algorithms, they have been accused in many cases of being designed in order to be addictive to the customers. So that's why we spend so much time on social networks. That's why we are addicted to the sound of the messages whenever they arrive. In that sense, many people claim that algorithms are designed so they are becoming the narcotics of the future, sure.
Mm-hmm. Is there a point of no return for you, where you would say, if companies do not respond now, we are entering uncharted territory, and that is dangerous, I presume?
In terms of cybersecurity?
Yes.
Yes. Sure. Well, and the point of no return for me is when companies start to the point of no return is when there is no response at all. They are aware of the dangers, but they don't do anything. But the point of no return usually comes from the fact that they are not considering that any company is an IT company. They don't consider that their business is completely aligned. The objective of the business are completely aligned, and they rely on the IT infrastructure. So if you don't consider this, you can put as many solutions as possible, but maybe you're not focusing on what are the final dangers you can have. And the final dangers are not being able to deliver your services, to deliver your products.
How do you see the weaponization of data? Where are the dangers here? Geopolitics, nuclear danger, or maybe undermining democracy?
Cybersecurity is part of geopolitics for sure. States, it's not only that cyber criminals are trying to attack companies, it's also that states attack other states, or they through direct weapons, but also through cyber intelligence. So in that sense, we are talking always about hybrid conflicts, which means conflicts are not only in the battlefield, they are also taking place on the internet. And that's why states, they do not only send bombs, they also send cyber attacks in order to attack, for example, the critical infrastructures of states. the electrical grids, the water power supplies, and the way the banks work, transportation, because if they attack those critical industries through cyber attack, they can win the war, or they can take advantage of the other states.
Are there many ways of being smarter than cybersecurity a means to obtain supremacy over data? And who knows, supremacy, world power taking over?
Sure. In the case of companies, it's something very clear in the case of companies that deliver artificial intelligence application powered by AI. In those cases, there's a clear, we can see very, very clear the asymmetry of power between those companies and the customers. The customers, they are completely isolated, but the companies, they have, they are in a position through their algorithms and through all the data they have collected to influence, to control the channel with the customers, so they can do whatever they want. As I said before, they can do it potentially. They don't do it always, but they can do it potentially, and that's something that has already happened.
Mm-hmm. You are convinced that we must ensure that humans retain control over how algorithms make decisions, but is that realistic, given the speed at which digitization in company is taking the world by storm?
It's a challenge. Definitely it's a challenge. And it's a challenge that has to start with an awareness of the customers on how we are behaving with all the technology all around us. And the problem is that we, in most of the cases, we don't know how this technology works. What is exactly at stake? What is behind the fact that we are using services for free? No application is free. We have to pay something, but we don't know. We are paying with our data, and that data is very, very valuable. So unless we are not aware of the value of our data, the value we are providing for free, and the fact that this value, what it does is it encourages it, it makes this asymmetry of power bigger and bigger, we will not be in a position to make it change. And of course, regulation is something which is needed, very strong regulation in order to make sure those algorithms work as they in an ethical way. But governments are not the only ones that have to force it. It's the customers that have to also to push for it.
Mm-hmm. May I quote you? We face the same challenge as bioethics in the 1970s, which had to find a way to deal with abortion. The use of animals in testing or euthanasia. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes. Sure. As I said, the focus in AI ethics should not be on the algorithms themselves, but on the companies and the staff behind those algorithms, because we are seeing that there are many concerns on the way those algorithms are used and the impact they have. In the 70s, a similar situation was going on. We had healthcare research was growing exponentially. There was a very big social crisis regarding different issues, and people were concerned about the way research was carried out because there had been many abuses. There was a need to reflect on what was the right thing to do, what was the right thing to do in hospital, for example, in order to deal with dilemmas such as abortions, such as assisted death, such as organ donation or organ transplantations. So they put in place the debate, mm-hmm. the debate in order to deal with dilemmas, and that's why they bioethics brought us also ethical committees, ethical boards, in order to deal with those dilemmas, which is something we should also need to bring in companies that are developing artificial intelligence algorithms.
And what are the cybersecurity challenges for the next decade, taking into account that systems will ever become smarter, faster, and more malicious, and even more under the radar?
artificial intelligence is going to be, well, it's going to be in the debate in cybersecurity for two reasons. First of all, because the rate of digitalization is going to grow more, even more than now. We're going to have an attack surface that is going to be incredible. Until now, it was very, very difficult to protect our companies, and most of the companies they are still based on very basic servers, application, and laptops. But from now on, the digitalization is going to bring us more and more attack surface and more intelligent algorithms that are going to be attacked. And we have to understand how those attacks take place and how the impacts on attacks of artificial intelligence solutions, where they can lead us. We don't know what effects there can be. Maybe they are. Maybe we will have more worst effects than the ones that we are seeing now.
Mm-hmm. My impression is that today's companies are seeking in good faith the balance between functionality and security, and perhaps also to still make some profit. Is that balance getting lost?
Companies have to look for the profits. That's for sure. Otherwise, you don't start a company. But it's a challenge for them, and I understand, as I also have a company, that you also have to comply with laws. You also have to comply with cybersecurity. But companies should be aware that that should be part of their their brand as well. Mm-hmm. Their services must be trusted. If they want to be a trustful company, because they are an IT company indeed. If they want to be a trusted company, they have to take into account cybersecurity always as part of the business. So it's not that it should be the objectives and the business from one side and cybersecurity on the other. Cybersecurity and the business are intertwined. They should work to that's the way we should see it.
You once said trust and faith are lost. We need to be able to trust again. We need to ask ourselves what morality we want to live by and extend it virtually. An ethical guide is urgently needed. What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that many times we assume that the problems of artificial intelligence, the impact they have on the humans, is due to the a lack of ethics in the relation between humans and algorithms. But indeed, that makes no sense. Relations are always between humans and humans, and the decisions are taken from humans. They have and the impacts that they have on humans. But these relations between humans, they can be directly, such as when I'm talking to you right now, or they can be mediated by technology. Technology that can be very simple, for a phone can, for example, or it can be as complex as artificial intelligence algorithm. So. So that's where we have to put our attention, making sure that those decisions that are now taken, mediated by a technology, they follow the same ethical principles as the ones we assume we were following. For example, in regarding ethical theories such as utilitarianism or deontology, we want to make sure, for example, that we don't treat humans as a means to achieve an end. That our acts follow universal law. For mm-hmm. example, things like not lying should be an ethical principle for inhuman relationships and inhuman relationships mediated by technology.
I am about that to take your word for this. Thank you very much for having had this conversation with me, Professor Pablo Bayarin Usieto, Cybersecurity Advisor and Professor AI Ethic. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sophie.
Vanuit Brussels Expo op Business AM Cybersec Europe.